Hey, welcome back, guys, to Defining Truth, episode 32. It's been a minute, but we had a lot to talk about. Mainly, and what everyone is talking about, is the conviction of Donald Trump. Wow. A lot going on in the news today.
This trial is a total sham, and everybody who has seen it, any legal observers who've looked at it, have known from the beginning. And listen, let's just start at the very beginning. These are charges that have never been brought before by anybody else in American history. They're charges that have absolutely no basis in the law. Forget even getting to the facts, in the law. I mean, what Bragg tried to do here, bootstrapping some state court requirements, state law requirements, and then linking them to federal campaign election donation requirements and reporting requirements, is absurd. It's totally absurd. And the proof of that is nobody's ever been charged with this before. Then you had the star witness for the prosecution, who is a convicted perjurer and who lied again on the stand and admitted that he did. Oh, yeah, that wasn't what I said earlier in my testimony. Brett, we need to be clear about this. You look at Biden's campaign. They are out there celebrating this. They did campaign events at the trial. This is an attempt to use our legal system to hijack our election system. That's like what a third world country does. It's never happened before in this country. We need to be honest about that and say that this is a dangerous moment for America.
Big, big news for America in general. The conviction of Donald Trump on 34 counts of falsifying records, which they magically turned into a felony somehow. We're going to get into all the details of this. But first, Brandon, how are you today?
Good. Good to see you. It's been a while.
I know. It's been a while. We've been really busy. Got a lot going on in the world and with Defining Truth. And this was just a momentous decision here in American history. A lot of first that we're going to talk about, but let's just jump right into it because there's a lot of misconceptions and confusion about what happened. Were you going to say something? So let's just start at the beginning and cover what's going on. So a trial in New York, jury comes back, and they find Trump guilty on 34 counts of falsifying records. So let's talk about what happened exactly. Trump was indicted or convicted, 34 counts, really all stemming from one instance of falsifying records. And the records in question, payments that Michael Cohen made when he was his lawyer at the time, allegedly to cover up a relationship with Stormy Daniels. It was hush money, right? But that's not the charge. The charge itself is that they were mislabeled as legal expenses. Okay, so here's the facts. Trump was essentially illegally convicted on absolutely nothing. Most legal experts agree about this. The corruption is so deep and pervasive in this case, it's hard to grasp just how bad it really is, but we'll give it a try. So first, let's look at the big picture. Trump, who probably not knowing what we know, or now knowing what we know about the anti-American Democrats and how far they've gone to the left, he probably did win the election in 2020. He has continually asserted that the leftists cheated and scammed their way into a victory for the barely coherent Joe Biden. But since that time, and because of Trump's assertions that he in fact won, the Democrats, who have an incredible phobia of Donald Trump, have continuously tried to stop him from running again. And that's really what this all comes down to. And to be clear as to what that really means, they don't want Americans choosing their own president, period. Joe Biden is controllable because he can't talk or think or walk in a straight line. And that's exactly what extreme socialists on the left want in order to advance their plans to dismantle the American Republic. Now, they're not so secretive about this. They're very out in the open, and we're going to go through some things, and I'll let you decide. Now, when I say they've continually tried to stop him, I mean this effort is of a magnitude never before seen in American history. It's spiritual. So let's go through these chronologically here, to name a few. They tried to stop him with the whole Russia collusion thing, which in the end was proven to be categorically false and discovered to have been planted evidence by the Democrats with the Hillary Clinton campaign. They accused him then of misbehaving on the Ukrainian call, this infamous call, which everyone could listen to, which went nowhere, because there was nothing to be seen. And in fact, what the Democrats accused Trump of doing in that call is exactly what Joe Biden did and is doing to a T. But because he's an American-hating leftist, he can do no wrong. And they tried impeachments twice, hoping there would be some leverage over a potential election run for the White House. And that totally backfired on them because they're liars and the American people saw right through the charade. So that didn't work. So I hope you're keeping up with all their attempts here. Then you get into the whole January 6th thing where people, you know, on one hand were pushing and breaking through barriers, and then others casually strolled into the Capitol building and took pictures when police just opened the gates and let them inside. And we have thousands and tens of thousands of hours of people just peacefully walking around inside the Capitol building. There were, of course, the instances of escalation and pushing barriers, like I said, but they paled in comparison to what leftists did across the country during all the BLM nonsense, where millions of dollars in damage were caused and hundreds of innocent people were murdered. And the Democrats, politically speaking, were fully behind that true uprising. All for nothing, because the whole January 6th deal was so blatantly corrupt and concealed from the American public as to what really happened that it never really had the political effect that the Democrats desired. In fact, it kind of backfired. It solidified people's suspicions concerning the weaponization of the Department of Justice by the Democrats. But it didn't stop there, because up until this point, Trump is still on that train to the White House. So then you have the corrupt, radical, leftist, never-Trumper, Letitia James, who leads this strange fraud accusation case against Trump. Another case. These just keep popping out all over the country, which had no legal precedent and went nowhere, except for they got the results they wanted because they realized at this point they could cheat and lie within their own tightly controlled bureaucracies in this new era of what we call lawfare. Now, this was a big turning point, in my opinion, because everything that they had tried before wasn't working. They threw lie after lie, attempt after attempt, and it went nowhere. And so then they took it into the judicial system, and they start hitting him where it counts during, as you know, during an election campaign. They start taking money from him. Then you have this very difficult to comprehend and strangely unbelievable defamation case involving the forest hermit named E. Jean Carroll, where despite there being not one iota of evidence, the corrupt leftist court awarded this strange lady $83 million. $83 million. Trump appealed the ruling and his bid for the White House goes on. So absolutely nothing happened. He hasn't paid because that's an appeal right now. When absolutely none of these attempts worked, and I hope you're tracking all of these attempts by leftists to stop this guy from running for president, right? It's like, forget the idea of just letting people vote for the candidate they want. They're so afraid of him that they have literally tried everything in the book and now beyond. And as one pundit correctly pointed out, they have continuously escalated their attempts, right? It's like, what's left to do? Well, when none of these attempts worked or had the desired effect, which was stopping him from running, the would-be Axis of Evil, or whoever that is, had a meeting and decided that Alvin Bragg, the corrupt leftist crony in Manhattan, would be the first to bring felony charges against the former president in a, quote, false business record case, a charge that would never see the light of day in a courtroom anywhere in this country unless your name is Donald Trump. And the issue went from a paper error, something being mislabeled, by his attorney, by the way, Cohen, not Trump himself, went from an error to a misdemeanor and then to a felony by the time the Democrats concluded their Get Trump meeting. The case was so unbelievable that absolutely no one took it seriously at the onset. There was no evidence other than convicted liar Michael Cohen's word that payments made to his legal firm were actually for hush money. They weren't even legal charges or laws that fit this indictment, and no one knew how to proceed because there simply wasn't a crime or evidence thereof. So they made it up. The judge, who is deeply compromised politically, we're going to talk about Judge Marchand in a second and who his family is involved with, gave mixed instructions to the jury, perhaps most notably, that they didn't all really have to agree on the elements of the crime. So let's just clarify this for everyone. They're trying to say that payments that Michael Cohen made to Stormy Daniels were for hush money when they made her sign an NDA to not accuse Trump of things during the election. Okay, that right there, if you're going to indict people for that, then every politician on earth would be in jail right now. The Democrats do this on a daily basis. And since when do NDAs comprise felonies, right? But the truth is, Michael Cohen was convicted of this. We're going to talk about that later. And he swore under oath that it had nothing to do with Trump. So Cohen does whatever his law firm does. What they're accusing Trump of marking is legal expenses because he paid his lawyer and he marked it down as legal expenses in his tax documents. So again, when this started, everyone, and I mean everyone, all legal experts and media personnel thought, this is a clown show. There's no crime here. Even liberal media like CNN and others were astonished at how bad the case against Trump was, and early on began stating that this was a bad move on behalf of the Democrats. And so Michael Cohen himself did horrible on the stand, was absolutely demolished by Trump's attorneys. The guy couldn't tell the truth to save his life and was actually caught in a lie concerning the only piece of information the Democrats were using against Trump. Namely, this is what everything hinged around in the case. A recorded conversation that he allegedly had with Trump concerning payments to Stormy Daniels. But when the defense proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Cohen had lied about this, in fact, that the call had nothing to do with Trump, Cohen admits that he lied, that the call wasn't about Trump, and that should have been the end of the case. That's the only piece of evidence that Democrats had. They caught him in a lie, and like I said, under any normal circumstance, the case would be thrown out immediately. Your one witness is a convicted liar who then admits that he lies right then on the spot in court, and the judge is like, no, let him talk. So, the defense proves beyond a shadow of doubt that he lies. They play a recording of Cohen where he said the conversation was actually about something entirely different and had nothing to do with Trump, and then he just refuses to answer the questions after that. At this point, even the liberal media believes the case to be a total failure, as the prosecution had no evidence, no witnesses, and a very obvious politically corrupt connection to the Democrats. Now let's digress for a minute to Marchand. Judge Marchand, who is known to be a leftist activist guy, he's donated to Joe Biden. His daughter, Lauren Marchand, is the president of an organization involved in politics. They've collected over $60 million for Democrats in their campaigns, including Joe Biden and VP Kamala Harris. So there's a clear conflict of interest and impeachable issues here, which I'm going to get into in a minute. But I want to pause for a second and go back to the judge's instructions, this note that he gave the jury just the day before they came back with a conviction, where he really improperly advised them that they didn't all have to understand or agree on the elements of the crime. Now, for those listening who may not know, I spent a long time, you know, working for the government. I worked both state and local cases as a law enforcement officer, and I worked as a special agent. I worked federal cases. I've testified. I've written indictments, etc. Now, I want to break down what elements of the crime are for people. So all crimes are bound by elements that make that crime what it is. Now, these instructions, including the description of the crime and their elements, are given to jurors so that they understand what exactly they are convicting someone of. So without these elements, the crime cannot be completed. Okay, for example, like if you're going to commit, accuse someone of burglary or convict them, there are certain elements of that crime that need be there. So it has to be a four-sided structure. There has to be, it has to be locked or enclosed. There's a breaking in aspect, a forced entry, etc. When all of those elements are completed, then you have a burglary versus, say, if you leave your purse at a park on a bench and I take it, is that burglary? No. There's a case that it could be theft, but not burglary because there's no four-sided structure. There's no locks. There's no crossing the premises into that with the intent to take something. So different crimes, right? So having the jury agree on all the elements of the crime is very, very important, especially when you're launching an unprecedented and wildly insane attack on a former U.S. president over something that's a simple filing error. And for the judge to say that the jurors didn't have to agree on the elements of the crime because nobody understood what he was doing because there's no crime here, was in of itself extremely corrupt and impeachable, in my opinion. Despite that, the case went forward. Now, let's talk about impeachable issues here and some things that will probably come up in the appeal. And if it's not at the state level, at the state appellate court in New York, then this will never get past the Supreme Court. So all of this is for nothing. Let's just be clear. If you are rejoicing yet again over, we got you, Trump, like this hasn't happened 20 times in the last 2 or 3 years, this is going nowhere. All experts agree this man is not going to do time in prison, and the case is more likely than not to be thrown out. But let's look at some impeachable issues here. So under bad character rule 608, for example, permits the impeachment of witnesses by proving their poor character for truthfulness or, quote, tendency to fabricate, but only by reputation or opinion, right? So when you're going to impeach someone, there is grounds there if you can show, hey, this person has a tendency to fabricate or lie. Michael Cohen is the poster child for this rule. He's convicted of perjury. He admits in court to lying. And one of the key witnesses for the defense in the Trump case here comes up and says that Michael Cohen, and I quote, swore to God, I don't have anything on Donald Trump. That was the other attorney, Costello, said Cohen told him at least 10 times prior to this event. So why was this witness allowed to testify, one, and why was his testimony not stricken? Who knows? I'm sure that'll come up later. The other one is bias, interest, and motive. Now, here's another thing to consider is that perhaps the most common form of impeachment is evidence showing that a witness has biased for or against a party, an interest in the outcome, you hear that? A financial stake or any other motive to testify falsely. Now, you tell me, which one of these radical left-wing activist judges, district attorneys, or prosecutors can honestly say that they don't have a bias against Donald Trump or an interest in the outcome? Oddly, no federal rule addresses this. Although a lot of states have enacted rules, like Ohio has a rule 616 that includes this provision, but the credibility of crucial witnesses is an important issue. So evidence that they're biased is of significant probative value that will almost always outweigh prejudicial effect. So what are we saying? That the Democrats know this. This is in part why all of their efforts prior, all that nonsense I read through, has failed, because they're using biased, corrupt, radical leftists who will stop at nothing to dismantle the American Republic and our way of life. They hate Donald Trump in a spiritually dark and heavy way that's not even explainable on a physical level. And they keep using these people, but it goes nowhere because all of their accusations are based in falsehoods. And yet here we have a clear bias and interest. We have a judge who is not only donated to Democrats, but is very open about his disdain for Donald Trump and Republicans, whose daughter is deeply involved in Democrat politics, raising millions and millions of dollars for Trump's current opponents. So what you have here is a banana republic. You have Trump, who's become a politically persecuted prisoner, being prosecuted and sought by his political opponent. This is the kind of nonsense that happens in dictatorships and third world countries, etc. This is a significant blow to the American judicial system. Michael Cohen, who federal prosecutors charged with violating federal campaign finance laws by making payments to Stormy Daniels, okay, this is before Trump's case, was sentenced to 3 years in prison after he pled guilty to that crime, as well as tax evasion and making false statements to a bank. So Costello, who was the other attorney that Trump hired, who they called as a witness for the defense in this case, he told lawmakers during a hearing of the House Select Subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government last week that Cohen insisted to him at the time that Trump was not involved. And I read the quote I just stated before. He said, and I quote, "I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump," Cohen told Costello at least 10 times. Costello, at the request of Trump's team, testified to the Manhattan grand jury last week that ultimately voted to indict President Trump on 34 counts of falsifying business records. After his testimony, Costello was able to speak, and he just blasted Michael Cohen. Said the prosecution's star witness telling reporters his former client had a lie, cheat, steal mindset. I'm trying to tell the truth to the grand jury, Costello said, and I quote, this is from the New York Post, if they want to go after Donald Trump and they have solid evidence, then so be it. Michael Cohen is not solid evidence. And yet, that's what Trump was convicted on, which is why it's not going anywhere, okay? So, after all of that, the jury returns a guilty verdict. And what does it mean? Absolutely nothing. All legal experts agree Trump will never see jail time for this. The entire case, fraught with errors and corruption, will most likely be tossed out by appellate efforts, if not at the state level, then at the Supreme Court, like we said. So the only thing the Democrats accomplished was utterly demolishing the American judicial system and turning our country into a banana republic where Joe Biden gets to prosecute his political opponents like a dictator. Now, we have others that we didn't even mention, runner-ups, right? Like the Mar-a-Lago document farce, where Biden authorized lethal force against President Trump when agents raided the president's home over something so innocuous and common, it's hard to believe that that actually happened. When he himself, Joe Biden, had boxes of classified documents in his car in a garage. The hypocrisy is astounding. And then, of course, you have the Fulton County nonsense, where it has now been proven that Fulton County did, in fact, lose thousands of votes and cannot account for others, despite Democrats accusing Trump of subversion because he challenged the ruling there. And the whole thing was led by Fannie Willis, the corrupt leftist DA, who was herself caught lying about a sexual relationship with her prosecutor on the case, Nathan Wade, who has since resigned from the case due to a major conflict of interest. These people are filthy corrupt. They're full of lies. They're dark, and they're stopping at nothing to stop the American people and our way of life. They don't even know what's real or not real anymore. And for whatever reason, we have this large portion of what, you know, of what socialists have for years called the useful idiots, who readily line up and believe anything and everything these people say. I've heard them throughout each one of those events we went through chronologically. You see people all over social media. We got them. We got them this time. It's like, how many times will you swallow this pill and be let down over and over again? Which is why we talk about it's on a spiritual level, the darkness and deception that's occurring in this country. The hatred towards this man is deeply rooted in fear and motivated by hatred and false assertions. Why is this important, I think, for Christians to understand, right? Well, truth matters to us. Truth is important. When you lose reality and truth, you are bound for destruction. If you're not living in light of reality, you are bound for death. This is historically true, and of course it's spiritually true. The psalmist describes the person whose walk is blameless and righteous as speaking the truth from the heart. That's Psalm chapter 15. The New Testament echoes this when it connects honesty and truthfulness with the believer's new life in Christ in Colossians 3:9. One of the first manifestations of the believer, that's a person who's become a Christian, putting off the old self and putting on the new self in Christ, is a commitment to honesty. Ephesians chapter 4. The virtue of honesty is grounded ultimately in the character of God. That is, we are to be truthful because God is truthful and God never lies. Titus chapter 1 and 2. So truth is very, very important. But as we often say here at Defining Truth, God's commandments and edicts for us are rooted in real-world application. In other words, they're not arbitrary. He doesn't say, don't lie just because I said so. It turns out that his advice is good for us. He says, don't lie because it's good for you. Because when you follow after liars, when you follow those who bear false witness, like what we see sweeping this country, you are bound to follow their way to destruction. This is exactly what has happened throughout the last century. And we have example after example after example of where these human secularist governments eventually lead people to death and destruction. And we see the similar pattern here of this American suicide, that when they are unable to battle truth in reality, they just start lying. They make things up. So this is a momentous decision here by the jury here for America. Unprecedented. Never before has a U.S. president been treated this way or convicted of a felony, been gone after by so many people at so many times in so many ways. And yet they're still unable to stop him. So the question now is, where will they stop? Because nothing about this news has prevented him from continuing to run for the White House. So what's next? Over the last several years, they have continually escalated their efforts against Donald Trump. So when will they stop? Right? We've heard Tucker Carlson recently saying that he thinks that they'll try to kill him. You have others saying they'll try to physically put him in jail. Others saying, no, they can't. There's no precedent. Who knows? I'm not going to try to guess. But I will advise the astute believer out there who's trying to pay attention and be an impact for Christ and the world around them, that truth matters. If you're going to have a conversation with someone about current events, make sure that your opinions are rooted in biblical advice and not in the culture of lies that surrounds you. So when the church begins to change or adapt their theology based on what the world is saying, when we validate the terms of this culture, the false accusations, which all come from their father, we know, the father of lies, then you begin to allow that poison to seep into the way that you think. What's more important, and of course always with love when you speak to people, but it's important to stand on truth and in reality, because that is where God exists. He is a God of truth. He is a God of reality. And he does not abide liars. You shall not lie to one another, Leviticus 19:11 says. And Proverbs informs us that telling the truth leads to the best long-term outcome for us. Proverbs 12:19, and I end with this, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. All right, I'm going to take a deep breath for a second. Brandon, you gotta chime in now, because that was my hot take right there. I'm sure we could keep talking forever, but anything that jumped out to you about this whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think really politically speaking, the question is, what's the impact of the 2024 presidential election? Really, it's zero. There's a couple polls that I found from NPR and PBS. Two-thirds or 67% of voters said that a guilty verdict would make no difference to their vote. Three-quarters said the same of a not guilty verdict. And one in six voters, or 17%, said a guilty verdict would make them less likely to vote for Trump. Now, we have to remember, this is happening, that we're in the month of May. The election is in November. This is going to have no effect. I mean, people can't remember what happened last month. So if this was there again, like you said, they've gone through and they've, you know, attacked him for several things. If this was their big last hurrah gotcha, they did it way too early, for one. And I don't think that it's going to have an impact. I don't see how it could. According to this poll, again, that some of the biggest demographics that it could possibly have an income impact on, for whatever reason, I found these kind of interesting. Those living in small towns, white people without college degrees, rural residents, and they think that 10% of Republicans could possibly be swayed by this. But like the article,
what poll was that? I'm just curious.
The same poll. This was the NPR PBS NewsHour. So again, I don't, you know,
they're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, again,
NPR is kind of notoriously dumb, but if you,
I agree, but even if these numbers were true,
yeah,
the impact is little. I mean,
well, we can see a direct contradiction to that just in the polls concerning his donations, right? That in a 10-hour period,
yeah, $39 million.
The guy raised $39 million. And remember, we were talking
from
earlier,
small dollar donors.
Yeah, and that represents percentage-wise a 30% increase in donors for right. Donald Trump. So whatever they were intending, it backfired on them.
Yes,
exactly. They just got 30% of people who had never given to him before started giving him money. And of course, social media is replete right now with people, independents, libertarians, even Democrats, and people who supported Hillary are now saying, we're donating to Trump. This is wrong. This is crazy. We don't want to live in a banana republic. I mean, they've gone too far.
Yeah, I think this sums it up well. This is a quote from John Duvall, who's a Republican from Tennessee. It says he expressed a sentiment shared by many of Trump's supporters. And I quote, he says, "I think it's a big farce. It's an attack on Donald Trump. He goes on to say, I'll vote for him more because of what they're doing, because it's illegal. If they send him to jail, I'll still vote for him because the whole thing is nothing more than a political attack on him. And I agree. I mean, Donald Trump is, you know, he might not be the nicest guy. He might not be the most well-put-together guy. You might not like him because of his personality. But the simple matter of the fact is, and we said it before, when Donald Trump was president, Russia was not invading Ukraine. Hamas was not invading Israel. The economy was booming. And those things aren't happening now. People, you know, can't go to the grocery store without it squeezing their wallets. And
well, and we should clarify that that is the truth, that this isn't about Donald Trump. This is a war for the existence of America. This is about ideologies. And Trump happens to be the head of, you know, something, or Trump symbolizes something right now, but we're not obsessed with any one person individually. We love our constitutional republic. This is an attack on the American people.
If it wasn't Donald Trump, it would be Ben Carson or
Nikki it would Haley be whoever it is.
Whoever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I want to read too. A friend of ours, mutual friend here, texted me this early this morning. There's an incredible irony in this Trump conviction. Democrats have vilified our justice system and law enforcement as unfair and easy to manipulate for years. And now they want to pretend it was fair and virtuous in this one instance. And I think that was so on point because they're such hypocrites, right? Which is it? Is the ACLU is out there saying that cops are racist and the whole system is corrupt and all these people in jail are innocent, etc. But then when they're using political corruption efforts to go after their opponents, then it's, you know, it's a righteous conviction. It's like all the people on social media you hear commenting like, he was convicted, final proof. And I'm like, man, this is dangerous how gullible people are.
I don't understand how anybody thinks that this is a fair trial. It happens in Manhattan where, according to Trump himself, I think he polled like 4 or 5% in the district that this took place. So 95 to 96% of people voted for Joe Biden.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident.
Like, Democrats, that was not an accident. The point of the judicial system, the original intent is a jury of your peers. But when you're a former president of the United States, like, it's hard to find 12 people who like are your peers unless you like pick 6 Democrats and 6 Republicans who are all from the government.
Yep.
Like, the random people on this jury are not Donald Trump's peers. They wouldn't be Joe Biden's peers either. It's you can't go into a courtroom like that with somebody like Donald Trump and have bias.
Well, it was a political trial. So the bias was inescapable, especially like all the, you know, the connections that we mentioned, the judge who's deeply corrupt and leftist and his daughter who works for Democrats. I mean, the whole thing was a political circus, and that's so, so very dangerous. And the truth is too, that there are a lot bigger things happening here. We have, you know, let's not forget there's a lot going on geopolitically around the world. America has enemies that wish to see us fall. And unfortunately, the Democrats have drug a significant portion of American citizens into this mindset that says we should hate our own country. You should hate yourself. You should hate white people. You should hate the American Republic. You should hate First Amendment. And so you don't think, no, and no, for sure, America's opponents, like in the Chinese Communist Party and Russia and other places, they're looking at that going, we love the Democrats. We love them. We're going to come in here and help you with disinformation campaign and social media bots that are going to stir up strife. In fact, we covered a few episodes ago, German intelligence, which uncovered Russian intel documents stating that they were going to significantly ramp up their intervention in U.S. elections during this season by stirring strife amongst people on social media, by, you know, getting people to fight one another. So the Democrats have just bought this hook, line, and sinker, which is why we use that term useful idiots, because Stalin talked about that too. He's like, these are people who are buying into this leftist propaganda and unaware that it is suicide. It is self-destruction. And you see that playing out right now. What's more shocking to me than their corruption, I mean, leftists have always been corrupt. It's the blind eye to the very real crimes and treasonous acts, which we've talked about here, like the Biden family's deep connections to Communist Party members, how they've been on payroll for years, how we'll talk about in a future episode, CDC just brushed over this laboratory that they found run by Chinese Communist Party in California, which had things like Ebola and COVID and other dangerous viruses. And they just kind of, it was all covered up. What it indicates to me as a former federal investigator is that where there's smoke, there's fire. And there is a yet untold, very deep connection between Chinese communist parties and intel actors and leftist bureaucracies here in the United States, a lot deeper than people realize. And so remember when Trump was president, America was doing pretty good. He was not putting up with the nonsense. We increased taxation against the communists. We kept our enemies at bay and said, look, America's back for now. Don't mess with us. And you have to understand that these opponents around the world, they do not want Trump to be back in office. Think about the Iranians, right? They got away with murdering and slaughtering innocent Israelis on October 7th. If Trump was in office, a lot more of those generals would be hamburger meat right now, right? I mean, think about Soleimani. He didn't last too long. So I think there's a vested interest and a very sort of out loud one now in furthering the dissension and hatred of Donald Trump because of the implications it means globally. If America's on top, it means that the communists can't be. It means that, you know, the Iranian Islamofascist can't be doing what they're doing around the world and, you know, trying to rid the world of Jews and all of their Nazi nonsense. So, and you think about the left, they're on the wrong side of history with every single issue, every single one. They're all about racism. They're obsessed with racism. It's something totally anti-biblical when it comes to culture and their perspective. They're all on board with Marxism, an inherently atheistic belief bent on destroying capitalist nations like America. They're all on board with Hamas and these evil, evil terrorists, and they're wanting to eradicate Jews. I mean, they're literally on the dark side of evil on every single issue. And then you want me to accept and believe them when they bring a guy like Donald Trump in for the 20th time into a courtroom? They're like, we found this paper error. See, he's a felon. It's like, give me a break. Give me a break.
Yeah, I don't even know if you mentioned it, but this isn't even the first time that Donald Trump has been in front of this judge.
Mm-hmm.
He's
presided over. Yeah. No, I didn't talk about it, but yeah, it's, I don't know how many, but he's presided over Trump issues before.
It was the tax fraud case back in 2022, I believe. He's presiding over a case that involves former Trump associate Steve Bannon. So, I mean, this guy, he campaigned on the fact that he was going to prosecute Donald Trump. So I guess the voters are getting what they asked for there, but
I mean, that alone right there, the fact that someone campaigns on, I'm going to get Trump, and then that we allowed him to preside over a trial where he clearly was a radical leftist. Like, we don't have time to go into it, but the transcripts are now available. Many different sites have published searchable transcripts of the trial. I would encourage you guys to go read them. But there's instances where he's like scolding Trump's witnesses, the defense team's witnesses, you know, where they've reacted kind of like in shocking way to his opinions, like, and he scolds them and says, this isn't a conversation, I'm in charge here. I mean, these people are lunatics. They're insane in their hatred, which again, as Christians, this is why we know that there's another level here. There's a spiritual level of darkness here. And again, it's not about Donald Trump or any one person, because none of these people are your savior, right? We're not worshiping Trump or any other politician. They're human beings and they all have problems. But this is an ideological battle here. We are trying to stand for the American Republic, the Constitutional Republic, which was based on Christian Judaic values, based on biblical concepts. That, you have to understand, is at the root of what the left hates. For progressive Marxism to exist, Christianity has to be erased. And I agree with guys like Charlie Kirk and some others this week, or just today, who have recently come out and said, they're not going to stop here. You are a clown if you think that they can do this to a guy like Donald Trump, a former president of the United States with billions of dollars, and then they won't do it to you. You are next. They will stop at nothing to accomplish their whole one world, you know, Marxist utopia. And because it is a suicide of America, we can stop it. You can get involved. And we know there's a lot more people to get involved, and I think proof of that is the 30% jump in donors that all of a sudden are supporting Trump. There's more people out there. I think this should be a huge wake-up call to both sides of the aisle. Democrats, say 90s-style Democrats who still believe in their mind that they love America, they need to realize that a lot of these single-issue voters have been manipulated and, what's the word I'm looking for? They've been exploited by Democrats to advance their power grabs, their political agendas. And I think it's time to wake up and realize you are losing your country. Because again, if they can do that to Trump, which one of us is safe? I don't trust any court in any leftist or liberal area. They're horrible people. We live in California, and in the past, I mean, we could talk for days about crime and the judicial system in California that is completely turned in favor of criminals now. You have district attorneys like the one in LA, what's his name?
Gascon.
Gascon, we've tried to get rid of several times. The dude has got convicted murderers in prison getting Gascon tattooed on their face because they love him so much. I mean, repeat offenders being consistently let out into the public to re-victimize people. I personally, working in law enforcement during the COVID nonsense years, dealt with people who had committed things like residential burglaries two or three times in a row and were continually let out onto the street. One in which I've talked about before ended up stabbing someone and finally was arrested. The American people are paying the price for these leftist fantasies. They don't work, and when they don't work, they switch tactics over to just completely falsifying things. They just make things up about the world. And everywhere their ideology goes, destroys the communities and societies that they live in. Bill Esaley, the state assemblyman here in California just this week, in another instance of this, in their lawfare and judicial nonsense, they blocked his proposed assembly bill that says if an illegal immigrant raped a minor, they should be removed from the country. Seems like a no-brainer. They blocked it. And they more than blocked it. They cut his microphone off while he was there on the Senate floor and prevented him from speaking. That is insane. What are they afraid of? And how do people vote for these lunatics? I don't understand. So it's even more sad when the church begins to validate and accept the narrative from the world, like a total blindness to discernment. And that's a whole nother conversation, which we should probably get into at another time. But for now, you know, Trump's found guilty on 34 counts. It's of course going to go to appeals and, he'll continue to run for office. So who even knows what will happen, but final thoughts and comments?
No, I'm good.
We're good. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Truth matters.